Petersfield's Shine Radio.
You join us today at the Rural Life Living Museum in Farnham.
Yes, we know this is a little outside our beloved Petersfield, but Phil, ow, twisted my arm.
Oh, sorry about that. But we're at the Winchester MG Owners Club Cobweb Spin.
It's the Peapod, on location with Laura Shepherd and Phil Humphreys. Shine
Radio. So, Phil, here we are at the Rural Life Centre in Tilford, Farnham. And how did this come about that we are presenting the Peapod from a cobweb spin?
Well, back in August, after lusting after them for many years, I got myself an MG.
Ooh.
Yes, an MG BGT, whose name is Evie.
Ah.
Because her registration is GYV, so Evie. And I joined the owners club, and there's a local owners club. And actually in Petersfield, we're either very confused or very fortunate, because we sit between the Southampton owners club, the Solent owners club, the Chichester owners club, and the Winchester owners club. And today the Winchester owners club have got this wonderful rally, and so I thought, well, yeah, I'll go along to that. And then we were thinking, what should we do for a Peapod? And I thought, oh, wouldn't it be nice to have an excuse?
Well, I have to say, I have visited here, the Rural Life Centre, as a punter, just coming to look around. And it is very much worth a few hours touring around. It's a lovely little place. But how on earth did they think that the juxtaposition of cars and rural life would fit together?
Well, rural life, there's all kinds of bits of machinery around here. There's all kinds of technologies involved in rural life. It's not all winnowing and sowing. And I can't resist saying that we are actually set up opposite a bunch of haymaking equipment. So I'm just hoping that at some point the sun shines.
I hope so too. There's a little glimmer in the sky.
The whole ethos of the car owners clubs is kind of celebrating that history, celebrating that technology, and the way that things advanced over the years. And we're going to hear a lot about that as we walk around and talk to people today.
So do you do work on your own cars, or did you buy a car in its complete form?
I bought a good car, and I've done a few small things to it.
It is a beautiful car.
It is a beautiful car. I mean,
you love her already, this, don't you?
Oh, no, she's lovely. We've been on a few little trips with her. Aww. And really enjoying her. And that's the thing. It brings great joy to the people who own them, and great pleasure to the people who will be coming along today and admiring them. Mm. And I think that the phenomenon of Bangers and Cash and all these kind of car rescue programs has really raised the profile of, well, it is an industry. There is a classic car industry. It employs loads of people. It trains engineers. It has apprenticeships. There's all kinds of stuff that goes on within this strange little world of classic cars.
Well, yes, also, I mean, it's not just MGs here today, because there I have parked next to a Ford Anglia, in Ford Anglia Green, of course, and a Ford Cortina. And I'm really embarrassed because my car is a Ford, but it's a really modern one, and I've tried to hide it out the way.
Oh, perhaps the Anglia can act as some sort of little memento mori for yours.
Yes, maybe.
I also need to ask, after last time, how are your cats, your husband, your daughter?
Well, yes, I did.
We're all having all kinds of trouble.
So I did have fairly catastrophic few weeks where my husband was seriously in an hospital. My daughter was injured in a ski trip. It was just everything was going on. The house was in chaos. But I'm glad to report all are recovering well. Rob is back home and he's started to put on weight again, and he's back to being mobile again. So that's recovery will continue, but that's all looking very, very good. And Rose, amazingly, having been pinned back together, has now had the brace taken off and is hobbling around with one crutch now. So she's doing very well. And
oh,
back at her fourth
wonderful
floor flat in Deptford as well.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, yeah. So she's gone back home now. Just comes back now for physio and things. So, yeah.
So pleased thankfully to hear that they're all on the mend.
So life is a little bit less chaotic, thankfully.
Well, today you can relax and enjoy the Rural Life Centre.
I cannot wait.
We would love to hear from you. So if you have a story you'd like us to cover, or you'd just like to say hi, please call or WhatsApp us on 01730 555 500 or send an email to team@shineradio.uk.
Coming up, we hear more about the MG Owners Club, the Royal Museum, and Joe Gray visits the Petersfield Photographic Exhibition.
So, let's get spinning! Ladies, can I butt in? Now, we're going to talk to the people who've organised this about all the planning and everything that goes into these things. But you ladies, you are the critical piece in the puzzle, aren't you? Because tell us what you've been doing this morning.
Well, having got up and got here at the crack of larks, whatever, we have been giving out the bacon butty tokens and the coffee tokens and the car stickers.
And has the feedback been good?
Absolutely. Bacon butties are to die for, I understand.
Oh, it didn't say that on the ticket. Where's the defibrillator? No, it was absolutely excellent. And I'm sure everybody's very grateful for that service at the start of a chilly morning.
How many of you are there in the marshalling team?
Possibly 20 of us altogether. Yeah.
A lot of organisation has gone into this today.
And, of course, all of these clubs are run by volunteers, aren't they?
Yeah.
Tell me, what sort of roles have you fulfilled over the years of being in MG clubs?
Well, I've been chairman of Basingstoke MG and also secretary for 11 years. So I've just resigned from the committee, but now I just get involved in day-to-day things.
Wonderful. And how about yourself?
I am the treasurer of Winchester MG Club.
Ah, the lady with the money. And how many members does Winchester have?
We go by how many cars, and I think there's about 40.
Wow, so popular. Well, ladies, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Thank you.
Well, we're joined now by Steve from the Winchester MG Owners Club and Clive from the Chichester Owners Club.
Hello, both.
Hello.
Good morning.
Steve, first of all, because, of course, it's your event, the Winchester event. What's been your role in organising this wonderful display of MGs?
For my sins, I'm the one that does all the bookings and takes all the emails and basically communicates all the instructions. And then our chairman, Peter, has done all the liaison with the museum. So he's organised the day and I've organised the people, basically, if you want to sum it up that way.
Well, that's quite a lot of organisation because we've heard there's some 20 stewards working at this event. I've seen the risk assessment. There's a lot involved in putting on something like this.
Yeah, we've been doing the cobweb spin since before I joined the club. So I think it dates back to about 2004, 2005. And every year we used to do it in one location. But we try and mix it up and go different places. But at least we've got a pattern now. We've got a format that we're used to. And we need helpers, obviously, on the day. You've got people to park. You've got the people you've seen with the big pointy hands. But the good thing is they've done it so many times that you don't really need to give them instructions anymore. They just turn up, they know what to do, and they just get on with it, basically.
I just need to elaborate. The big pointy hand is a great big giant sponge hand with a pointy finger on it. I did get waved in on one when I came in. When I arrived. Just thought I'd clarify.
We've been keeping them pretty busy, right? Do you know how many cars, how many vehicles you got here today?
We had over 90 booked in.
Wow.
You always get the last ones drop out at the last minute because of mechanical problems. And I was going to say they are MGs after all, and some of them are quite ancient. And we've got one here that's just on 100 years old. And you have to be sympathetic. But over the last few days, we've had emails from people saying, I don't think I'm going to make it. I found X, Y, and Z wrong with the car. And then last night, I got another email saying, I think I fixed it. I'm still going to try and get there. So it is a bit of a moving feast. But we've got a good turnout. We've got around about 90 here today.
Fantastic turnout.
How long have you been involved with the MG Owners Club?
I think since about 2008, probably. I became secretary around about 2011. So, yeah, I've been doing it quite a few years now. So, but I think the good thing is some of the members that we've got in the club, they predate my joining. And obviously we've got newer members and we do get a turnover. People buy a car, they move on to different cars, or, you know, they move out of the area. But we've got around about probably about 60 memberships, around about 120 people of all sorts. And I think the good thing is there's modern MGs, there's up-to-date MGs, and there's much older MGs. And we don't particularly discriminate against them. And hopefully you've seen today, it's not only MGs, but we've got Fords, we've got some Vauxhalls here. So we all love our MGs. But after a while, you don't want to just see a line of the same thing. So it's really nice to get different cars along as well.
Now, Clive, we were saying earlier that, we're based in Petersfield. We're between Chichester and Winchester and Solent and Southampton. Tell me, is there any rivalry between the different clubs?
Oh, not at all. No, we'll get on really well. No, I think this area is probably quite unusual in that, as you say, there are a lot of clubs in a very close area. And one of the good things is to be able to go to each other's events, and that does happen a lot. And therefore, we tend to meet, like already here, I've met people from Basingstoke and Winchester and other parts of the MG Owners Club. So I think that it's a good thing.
Have you seen any kind of growth in the interest in classic cars over the last couple of years?
There's certainly, we've had more members. Our membership has grown locally in the last few years. I don't know whether there's any more car. I mean, I've had my MG for 20 years, and I mean, it's always throughout that 20 years. I mean, it wasn't always in this area, but throughout that area, there's always been lots going on with the MG Owners Club. You can probably find something to do almost every weekend if you really wanted to.
Well, it's a bit like what they say about land, isn't it? They're not making it anymore. So apart from the very new ones, which come from China, it's about old MGs and maintaining them, restoring them and keeping them on their wheels. I nearly said on their feet, but on their wheels.
Oh, absolutely, yes. I mean, I think just quickly looking around here, I mean, nearly everyone here are the older MGs, if you like, or at least the sort of 90s ones. So it still is very much about that, you know, the wheel MGs.
Well, we're at the Winchester flagship event today, the Cobweb Spin. So tell me, what have Chichester got planned for the months ahead?
We don't have a big event where we invite lots of other people, but we do lots of events locally, and we do a lot of runs. I mean, in particular, coming up in 2 weeks' time, we have a week tour of Devon and Cornwall. Every spring we do a 1 week tour to a different part of the country. Well, in fact, we have been to France as well. But even that, we do have some people from other MG clubs join us, because we seem to be knowing that we do it. So we have other, mainly southeast, but from, I mean, Bournemouth, Runnymede, and some of the other clubs and Surrey who come along on our tours, and that's happened over the last few years.
If somebody is not fortunate enough to own one of these wonderful cars or something of a similar ilk, but they still want to come and admire them, how do they find out where they can go and see all these lovely old vehicles?
Well, we've got our website and we've got a Facebook page, so people can drop in there. We tend to list the events that are coming up. We go and visit quite a few places, and we actually have a classic car parade in Winchester as part of the Heritage Open Days in September. It's at that we have a parade one weekend, and we do a static display the following weekend. So if you have a look at it's Winchester MG Owners Club, so it's www.winchestermgoc.com, and you'll find them listed on there.
We can't let that go without giving the Chichester club address as well.
Well, again, we have chichestermgoc.com as well. Generally, in any part of the country, I mean, the MG Owners Club, the central part of the Owners Club, based near Cambridge, I mean, has a website where there's a link there to all sorts of events. So, you know, you can easily find out. And also nearly all of us, certainly we have, and I suspect most of them have got a Facebook page where you can find out that sort of information as well of what's going on. And often the information is shared between different clubs on these Facebook pages. So, yes, if you want to find something, it's quite easy to do it.
And, of course, we should say that if the MG isn't your cup of tea, pretty much every single classic car mark has got an owner's club, and you can find out where you can go and admire them just by a bit of Googling.
It's obviously a really lovely community as well, and there are bacon rolls, so...
What's not to like? Guys, thank you so much for your time.
The P stands for Petersfield.
I think it's an amazing place to live.
The Peapod.
Well, we've tracked down a gaggle of classic car owners. Hey, what is the collective term for classic car owners?
Oh, I'm sure we could find something.
Any suggestions?
Pain.
So here you are gathered together from Basingstoke and from Alresford. We were talking earlier about what a lovely community it seems to be of all the MG owners clubs in the southeast. Hello. What brought you out here today?
Basically, I'm part of Winchester Club, and I was stupid enough to volunteer to marshal.
And I've got another gentleman here who is not an MG owner. Tell us what you brought, sir.
Controversial.
I've got a 1937 Triumph Vitesse.
And very elegant it looks too, in white with an awful lot of chrome. How much polishing do you have to do?
No, I don't polish it at all. That's 16 years. It's doesn't need it. It's two-pack paint, and it just wash it down every now and again.
You're going to have to look into that. And what is it that you all get out of being classic car owners and being members of clubs? What do you enjoy about it? Tell me.
The camaraderie. Being able to meet like-minded members and car owners and discuss our problems.
Broke.
If you're an MG owner, you have to have a beard and oil under your fingernails.
Oh, well, I'm still working on that. Thanks for chatting with us.
Thank you very much, guys. As we've been travelling around, we've noticed a few different cars, and we're right next to a Ford Cortina. Hello.
Hello.
So
Hello.
How come you've got involved with exhibiting your car at an MG event?
I don't know, really. We just happened to see it, and it was the first one of the shut season. So we thought, because it's been laid up for the winter, so we thought we'd get it out and give her a little spin up the road. And so here we are, sort of thing, yeah.
So tell me about this car.
It's a 1969 Ford Cortina Mark II 1600E two-door. I bought it off of eBay as a shell, really, just a rolling shell. It was imported. It was built in Dagenham, sent over to Holland, lived most of its life in Holland, and it was then imported back into the UK, and it was originally left-hand drive.
And you've done all the work yourself, have you?
Yeah.
Wow, that's really impressive.
Yeah. I didn't spray it, but I'd done all the bodywork and everything else and put it back together again. Had some help with the engine and that sort of stuff and interior bits and pieces. But yeah, most of it we've done ourselves.
And how far have you come today?
Probably about 10 miles, 10, 15 miles. Oh. Nothing drastic, just to give it a bit of a shakedown, you know.
And what do you love about doing an event like this?
Getting away from the house and actually being able to sit and do nothing for the day. Got the wife with me, so yeah, it's not quite nice. Grandkids don't come round, or we haven't got jobs to do and that sort of stuff. It's just nice to sit and enjoy the sunshine. And, yeah,
and it's a glorious day.
It is a good day, yeah, for a change. It makes it.
And I understand that this particular car is actually quite rare, isn't it?
It is very rare, yeah. Yeah, it was never sold in the UK as an actual production model. It was only produced mainly for the European market. That's why it was a left-hand drive. I know of two right-hand drive ones that were actually built at Ford's, but that was it. The rest of them were all left-hand drive.
Wonderful.
Thank you very much for telling us about the car.
Thank you.
And it does look absolutely pristine.
There's not a speck of dust on it. It's very impressive.
And we're looking at the engine.
Absolutely.
We're now standing next to the oldest car at the rally, which is, tell us, sir, how old is this car?
It's a 1925 MG. It's the oldest surviving MG. I've had it for 30 years. It was in a dire state when I acquired it 30 years ago. It had been turned into a haymower on a farm near Basingstoke during the Second World War. So when I acquired it, it needed extensive work to bring it back up to a usable condition. It's been back on the road now for about 25 years. We drive it all over the UK and all over the continent of Europe. It'll be 100 years old in January, and it'll be the first MG to reach that age.
It's a stunning vehicle. How much maintenance is involved in keeping it running?
Well, Not as much as you might think, really, because I do oil changes and lubricate it, and as soon as anything needs to be done, I do it straight away. I never leave it because we use it so much that it has to be on the button, as they say, all the time. So once you've restored a car like this, it shouldn't need a great deal of work for another 30 years.
What is it that you get out of this hobby of classic cars?
Well, I enjoy driving these cars. My background, I was an aeronautical engineer as a young man, so I suppose that engineering has always been an interest, and fortunately, because I was trained in that discipline, I know how to do it.
It almost seems like cheating that you know what you're doing.
Well, it helps. It's much cheaper if you can do it yourself. It is very expensive to have these cars restored by professionals. It costs more than they're worth.
Yes.
Do you have to get very specific parts for it, though? Because they must have all disappeared by now.
I've been collecting parts for cars like this for a heck of a long time, so I've got two of everything for this car, at least. The MG brand is now owned by the Chinese, so the new MGs that are being sold today they're made in China. They've got a museum of MGs in China. I lent them this one a few years ago, and they said, oh, OK, we'll buy it and take it back to China. And I said, no, not while I'm alive.
We know that this car runs very well because we were speaking to somebody a little earlier who was coming up here in an MG Midget, and apparently you swept past them on the road.
Yeah, we overtook two MGs on the way here this morning, yeah. So it goes. I mean, when they were new, they did 65 miles an hour. I don't drive this at 65 miles an hour, but it will cruise at 50. So, you know, that's enough. Because although it might go 65, but it's got 40 mile an hour brakes. You've got to remember that.
Well, congratulations on a beautiful car.
Yeah, it's lovely.
And it gets a lot of use, and we do a lot of miles in it. So it's nice. So all we want is some more weather like this so we can use it a bit more.
Let's hope for a good summer. Thank you.
Thank you. Coming up, we meet Rob Bentley from the Rural Life Museum. But first, here's your What's On guide from Shine Radio's Amy.
The Peapod Events Guide. What's on in the Petersphere?
On Saturday, the 20th of April, we have Lambton Brewery Fun Dog Day, which is supporting canine partners, and it is all day at Langan Brewery. On Saturday, the 12th of April, we have Coffee and Retro Games Day from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. at Petersfield Museum and Art Gallery. And on Sunday, the 21st of April, we have Petersfield Car Boot Sale from 8 a.m. to 12 p.m. at the Avenue Pavilion. And you can see more local and interesting events at shineradio.uk.
If you're running an event, get it in the guide at shineradio.uk.
And now we're going to hear a little bit about the Petersfield Photographic Exhibition, which Joe Gray went to visit.
This is Joe Gray for Petersfield's Shine Radio. I am here with the Petersfield Photographic Society. So, Chris Jeffrey, tell me what your role is here.
I'm the president of the society. So this is our biannual exhibition that we're holding to promote ourselves out into the big world of Petersfield.
And John Richards, I understand you organised today's event.
Yes, I'm a committee member and I'm the chairman of the exhibition subcommittee that hopefully is the powerhouse for doing all the work. We've got 20 photographers who put prints up, about 150 prints in total, and then maybe 20 to 22 photographers who've put in digital images in the rolling show that we have.
I can see there's such a variety of images.
Yeah, we cover all the genres, really. A lot of wildlife photographers we have, you know, an exceptionally good wildlife photographers. Lots of people doing landscapes. Street photography is becoming more and more popular as a genre. I suppose the genre we're lightest in is portraiture, but we have one or two very good portrait photographers here, but it's not something that we're quite as big on as other things. But we cover them all.
The exhibition gives us a chance to show something of our own interest in photography. as a group of images as opposed to just one picture. As you go round, you'll see the interests of the members coming out in what they're presenting.
Being near the South Downs, that gives you a lot of wildlife opportunities. And of course, being near the coast, and I'm one of those that as soon as they say there's going to be a wild, windy day, stay away from the coast. I'm down there with my cameras trying to find that storm, that massive wave. You know, we're in amongst the elements here, aren't we? What better place to live, you know?
But as you'll see, we've got some wonderful travellers as well. So we're getting photographs from all over the world. It's amazing.
I think if you saw the rolling show, it takes the watchers to places that they didn't imagine. It takes you inside cathedrals in places that you haven't seen in that light before.
Creativity is trying to bring the creativity out. And we do try and encourage that it isn't just about the technicality. If that's a basic necessity, and you've got to get that right. But then it's going that bit further to create something that really grabs the attention of the viewer, which I hope we've done here.
So you mentioned the basics of taking a good photo. What are the basics?
I mean, most photographers are looking for light. They're trying to find something which isn't just a record of where they've been. It's just something that gives you a light, a perspective, an angle that is a bit more interesting. And I know that, you know, my wife's not a photographer, but we used to drive around and I've always got my camera with me everywhere I go every day. And she'd say sometimes, oh, you know, that blinking camera. But then after a while she said, you know what, you're looking at things, makes me look at things differently, makes me more interested in things. You take me into places I wouldn't have noticed before, finding something different. And the downside of that occasionally is my wife says, we've been somewhere, but you haven't taken any ordinary record shots. You're only looking for that really great image. I say, yeah, but that's the way it is, you know.
I think the basics are your mobile phone. Everyone has a mobile phone. Like, that's your basics. And then looking back at the... So we have sort of talks about looking on workshops, looking back at the old masters, the paintings, and seeing how incredibly good they were, and the photographers going back to the beginning of the last century. Ansel Adams is the great one that always comes up. Stunning photographs done with very, very low-tech cameras. So if you can understand that and then harness the modern technology of today, so it's going back to recognise sort of what you do without the technology and then add the technology to enhance it. We all have big cameras, but it's all changing, and people are coming in with smartphones and producing stunning photographs. So we've got to make that transition, so we're very cognizant of it, and would welcome younger people, because that's where the future is, and we're sort of looking to see where it goes.
Incidentally, one of our members a couple of seasons ago got a 10 out of 10 from the judge for a dandelion seed head taken on a smartphone. And when you think about it, the smartphone is fantastic for taking very close up things, because it gets in really tight and you've got depth of field, which you don't get with a big camera. But if you wanted to take a great big landscape, a smartphone's landscape wouldn't stand up technically in the same way once you blew it up, because it's not enough pixels to drag all that information in. But if you want to be really, really top with the mobile, try the close up or the macro type thing.
I suggested we have an evening of photographs of Petersfield, and I'm trying to prompt people to go out with their phone to take the candid type photograph, where you would be self-conscious with a bigger camera, but with a phone you can use its properties to try and take more readily candid photographs.
Yeah. And there's one I took today, how about that? I was walking across and there's somebody out selling all these things, and there's one says, avoid hangovers, stay drunk. And this one says, bullshit corner. You know, I mean, it's a fun photo, isn't it? It's Petersfield. It's one of the ones,
yeah,
I should
absolutely
put forward.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is, you know, this is what it's all about, really, yeah, photography. So
we welcome that kind of use of the phone. It's not about being a highbrow, blah, blah, blah. We can see the future is there, and we've got to embrace it and use it.
The P stands for Petersfield.
I can't believe that we live in such a idyllic place.
The Peapod.
We've now caught up with Rob Bentley, who is the operations manager here at the Rural Life Centre. How are you doing, Rob?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm grand. And I have to confess, despite having worked in Guildford and living but a half hour's drive away, even in an old MG, I have never visited the centre. It's a little gem.
Yeah, it was 10.5 acres with over 20 historic buildings on the site. And yeah, it's a little gem.
Tell us about where we're stood at the moment, because this is a real treat.
So currently we're stood in a late 1940s to early 1950s prefab. So after the war, bricks and mortar took a long time to build. So these were a great invention because they're sort of a prefabricated house. And you could just build them, kit build them, and they could be up very quickly. And if you lived in one of these back then, it was like living in a mansion. Everyone wanted a prefab because it had a toilet inside, and that was very revolutionary back then.
It's incredible. And I've been in some new builds, and they're a lot smaller than this. A palatial lounge and bathroom and dining room. Ah, it's wonderful. But you've got all of these buildings and all of these machines, and looking out of the window, we've got traction engines. I've seen a little train going by.
Yep.
And this is fantastic.
When did this start, the Rural Life Centre?
So the Rural Life Centre started in 1973 by our founders, Henry and Madge Jackson. So it started with a cottage, which we still got. It's privately letted. And they had a market garden. And someone offered Henry a plough. And from the plough grew this museum. So yesterday we celebrated Founders Day. So the museum entry was at 20p and 10p as it was in 1973.
Oh, fantastic. Why didn't I know about
we
that?
Missed a treat there, didn't we? What do you think the stars of the show are here at the Rural Life Centre?
The stars of the show has to be Deke's Cycle Shop, which is up there. That was moved brick by brick back in 2012 from Frimley. So that is real star and pride of the museum.
What sort of numbers of visitors do you get in the season? Are you open all year?
Yes, so we're open all year from Wednesday through to Sunday, so 5 days a week. In the school holidays, we open 7 days a week, and we have over 40,000 visitors a year.
Wow, that is impressive.
That is impressive. I had no idea there was that much footfall here.
As I've said, it is literally just half an hour's drive from Petersfield. It's a very easy ride.
Now, what made you take on the Cobweb Spin? Has it been here before?
So they just reached out to us. I don't think we've had this MG club here before, but we always look to do stuff with classic car clubs, and this is a really good event.
What sort of other events do you have here?
So we do a Village of War event in May, which is on the 11th and 12th of May, and we have a programme of several events, and then we finish up with a steam rally in September.
Oh, wow. Now, I was also reading on the back of a toilet door.
Classy, keeping it classy, Phil. Classy.
You've got to get the information where you can find it, Laura. That you can get a membership ticket here, which admits you throughout the year on limited numbers of visits, but excludes the Way Festival?
Yes. So Way Fest is a big festival that's held here. We're in partnership with us, which has about 7,500 people a day here. And the festival is inside the museum. So we fit four stages inside the museum and traders and everything else. And yeah, it's a really, really good festival.
So when you have that many people here coming to a music event, do you just leave all of the sheds open and the buildings open for people to look around?
Yeah, so we have all the buildings open so people can enjoy it. And that's why people give it a really good experience at Wayfest, because it is the only festival probably in the world that's inside of a museum.
That's amazing. And also, I mean, I've noticed today how, you know, people are coming to look at perhaps classic cars, but, you know, there's no problem about everybody wandering around everywhere.
You don't have a normal museum or set guide. You can just go wherever you like. Dog friendly.
And we were remarking earlier that I think people respect the fact that you don't have guards on every corner going, don't touch that, don't go over there, don't walk through that gate. Just has a great feel to it.
Yeah, definitely. And in the last sort of 3 years, we've really prided ourselves in getting everything that can run running and moving. And yeah, we want people to engage with it.
And if people want to come and pay you a visit, how are they going to find out details of opening times and exactly where you are?
So on our website, rurallifelivingmuseum.org.uk, or on our Facebook page, which is just the Rural Life Living Museum, our Instagram page, all the details are on there. And you mentioned membership earlier. Yeah, if you come and buy a day ticket and you walk around and you really enjoy it, we discount your day ticket off your membership.
We look forward to having a great summer here and visiting some of your other events.
Thank you very much, Rob.
Thank you.
And so we come to the end of this week's Peapod. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks also to our guests, our editor, M. Sefton Smith, the Shine Radio team, and above all, you, our listeners.
So from Phil and I this week,
bye for now.
Shine Radio is giving you the chance to win tickets for the BBC Gardeners World Spring Fair in Bewley.
This is Steve Amos, and if you're as passionate about gardens and growing as I am, then a day out in Bewley with plant lovers and experts could be just the ticket. You'll get to spend a memorable day at the event, meeting gardening celebrities like Rachel Detaim and David Hurrian. For your chance to win a pair of free tickets to the show, just answer this simple question. What's the name of the allotments where Shine Radio's gardening show, Growing Together, is recorded? Check the rules at shineradio.uk. Entries close at midnight on Friday the 19th of April, and three lucky winners will be drawn the next day.
Get in the draw to win free tickets to the BBC Gardeners World Spring Fair. Enter now at shineradio.uk.